Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service. We strive to be the golden thread leading you through the labyrinth of statistics, bringing you out to the surface and into the light of numerical clarity. And I'm your statistical Ariadne, Tim Harford. In early January, the UK's Office for National Statistics, known as the ONS, published data on productivity in the G7, seven rich countries including the UK, Germany, the US and Canada.
With the easing of lockdown restrictions across countries, output per hour worked growth was positive for all G7 nations in 2021, with the UK experiencing the largest year-on-year increase, 22%.
Wow, 22%. It sounded like good news for the UK in particular, but also for the other nations, some of which also experienced double-digit increases in productivity growth. But just 12 days later, the ONS issued a correction.
The previous version suggested that the UK output per hour worked in 2021 had the fastest growth of the G7 countries. This has now been corrected to the second slowest.
When you look deeper at the correction, you realise just how big it was. The UK's productivity didn't grow by 22%, it fell by 1.8%. And it's a similar story for other G7 nations. Canada's productivity didn't grow by 18%, it went down by 6%. Italy's wasn't 21%, it was minus 1%. So what on earth went wrong? The ONS told us that they used Microsoft Excel to calculate the figures that these growth rates are based on, but they made a critical mistake. They essentially misaligned two columns, one showing economic output, gross domestic product or GDP, and the other showing the number of hours worked in that year. Productivity is GDP divided by hours worked, but because of the misalignment, the ONS were dividing GDP in 2010 by hours worked in 2009, or GDP in 2011 by hours worked in 2010. Every single calculation for every country was wrong. And during the pandemic years, it was spectacularly wrong. In 2021, remember, UK productivity was supposed to have grown by 22%. Wrong, and that crazily big number was because the spreadsheet was using the GDP data from 2021, when the economy was functioning fairly well, but dividing it by the number of hours worked in 2020, a year full of lockdowns when far fewer hours were worked than normal. More economic output from fewer hours showed up in surging productivity numbers, but they were all just a mistake. The ONS told us that this was an unusual case and that they don't normally use Excel to produce statistics, but there is nothing unusual about spreadsheet mistakes. It is a subject dear to the heart of Matt Parker, the author of Humble Pie, a book about what happens when maths goes wrong. He came into the studio to discuss the messy world of spreadsheet mistakes. So Matt, you've heard this tale of an Excel spreadsheet producing an error. Are you surprised?
I am surprised and delighted. I love it when these things happen because we get to talk about spreadsheets.
But this happens quite often, I think.
It happens more often than we appreciate. So when I was digging through Excel-based stories of disaster writing Humble Pie, most of them seem to come from the public sector.
Right.
So in 2012, the State Office of Education in Utah miscalculated their budget by $25 million. And that's 2012.
Yeah, that's back when $25 million was a lot of money.
Exactly. They put it down to, and I quote, a faulty reference in a spreadsheet.
Right, so something was pointing to the wrong cell.
They were pointing at the wrong cell. And in 2011, West Baraboo, they miscalculated how much their borrowing was going to cost by $400,000 because when they were selecting a range of cells, they missed the bottom one.
Right.
So they selected a range, missed the bottom, and it all went horribly wrong.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens quite a lot in Excel. Yeah. I mean, we discussed before on More or Less two noted academic researchers, Carmen Reinhart and Ken Rogoff, who produced an influential economics paper about the impact of debt on growth. And yeah, that was wrong. And one of the reasons it was wrong was because they just didn't select a bunch of cells that they should have selected. I mean, it's pretty basic stuff.
You think so?
I mean, you say that this is often a public sector problem, but one of the most expensive errors I can remember was the bank, JP Morgan Chase.
Yes. You say quite expensive. I believe that was in the billions of dollars.
Yeah, I don't think they ever quite said, but that was what...
No, yeah.
Reputable financial newspapers reported that it was in the billions.
Yes.
Yeah. And I believe they were miscalculating their value at risk. And so they weren't correctly calculating the amount of risk they were exposed to, and that led to these losses. And in the official statement that came out, they didn't go into much detail. But the one thing they did let slip was they said that one of the miscalculations in their risk calculations was when they were dividing the difference between two rates, they accidentally divided by the sum of these two rates rather than the average of the two rates.
Right, which would make everything look half the size.
Yeah.
And they were measuring risk, right? So everything looked half as risky.
Yeah,
as
exactly. And you're like, well, that more money into that one. Look how low the risk is, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And I guess often we don't see when we have these sorts of mistakes in the private sector because there's less obligation to then report it. But I think in this case, the losses were so great, people noticed. And so they had to come out and give some kind of explanation as to what was going on.
And it's not just the world of accounting and finance where spreadsheets have tripped people up.
Famously, people who do genetics research will use Excel to analyze their data. And it's not them specific. This is like all scientists. But the problem with genetics is a lot of genes, the shortened versions of the genes sound very similar to dates.
I mean, one is called March 1, isn't
it? Yeah, March 1, SEP 15.
Yeah.
And the moment you type these gene names into Excel, they get turned into a date. And some researchers in 2016 went through the past 10 years of published genetics research and found that just over 19% of all published research has an autocorrect error in the gene names introduced by Excel. And when they pointed this out, everyone thought it would go down. Scientists double-checked in 2020, and they found that it's since gone up. It's about 30% now.
And Microsoft's position is basically, we made Excel for accountants, not genetics researchers.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not our fault.
No. And so now they've renamed the human genes to stop that from happening.
I mean, that is extraordinary, though, Matt, because that suggests that genetics researchers, they're aware of the problem.
Yep.
Microsoft have said, we're not going to fix this because as far as we're concerned, it's appropriate behavior for a spreadsheet. And the genetics researchers, rather than saying, well, we need to find another tool, have said, we're actually just going to have to change the names of all the genes. Because human nature is such that the people won't leave Excel alone.
We can't stop them from using it.
It's too easy to use.
And that's why I have a love-hate relationship with Excel. Most computers will have Excel or something similar installed on it. And so it's a really accessible way to start looking at basic databasing and data analysis and even a little bit of coding, basically. But if you're going to end up doing something proper or serious, because it's not designed to do that, there are some very easy to fall into pitfalls.
I mean, is the basic problem that Excel is the wrong tool for this kind of thing? Or is it actually fundamentally human error? People are going to make mistakes and they need to double check. Do we need better tools or better humans?
In this case, and I hate to give a real politician answer, it's a bit of both. The problem is Excel, while fun to play around in, makes it difficult to spot the human errors that are going to happen. Because you'll often use Excel in a one-off situation and you do kind of a bespoke calculation. And it's good in so much as you can kind of see all the steps in front of you. But it's really hard to spot where things are going wrong. And so because humans are always going to make mistakes, we need to make sure we're doing these calculations and we're doing mathematics in an environment that knows we're going to make mistakes and is doing its utmost to point out when things might be going wrong.
Our thanks to mathematician Matt Parker. His podcast is called A Problem Squared. And that's all we have time for, but please keep your questions and comments coming to moreorless@bbc.co.uk. We'll be back next week, and until then, goodbye.